Today, Mark chapter 14. This is part number two. Part number two. And if you weren't here last week, you can catch that. I think it's on the Facebook page. It's on the church website. I think the website address, that's what I was looking for, is www.fellowship4me.com. And you can pick up all of those. And especially last Sunday and this one, they go together. I told you guys last week I chose this screen on purpose because many people are pretending about something. We put on a front a lot of times. May we never get to the place that we find ourselves pretending before God. May we be real with Him. The man that we're looking at today is Judas. Judas is one of the most maligned characters in all the Word of God. As a disciple, as a follower of Christ, he was a complete failure. As a hypocrite, he was probably the most successful one in all of history. The great pretender. Mark chapter 14, we're only having two verses. We'll look at two verses, well, to begin with. Don't put away your Bibles whenever I finish reading because we're going to go to another place today. Okay? Mark chapter 14, verse number 10. It says, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, notice his designation, who he was, went into the chief priest to betray him unto them." Now, he's betraying Jesus unto the chief priest. What they're doing is they're trying to figure out a way that they can capture Jesus without a big crowd around. They're wanting to do it in the dark. They're wanting it to be in secrecy, which usually most sins are committed like that, or at least used to be. And in verse number 11, "And when they heard it," talking about the chief priests, the religious men, "when they heard it, they were glad." They'd been wanting to kill Jesus, had been wanting to do something with him for a while now. Why? Because his preaching exposed them. Those that want to hide in the dark, those that want to hide behind false theories and false truths, despise the truth. Most times people do not get mad at the Bible because they don't understand it. They quit reading it or get mad because it confronts them. The Word of God will expose you and I as a pretender. The Word of God will attack us. It'll confront us right where we live at. And if you read all of the Gospels with this thought in mind, how many of those parables, how many of those biblical truths that Jesus performed or spoke about, how many of those were directed at Judas? Can I tell you? Every one. Jesus knew Judas was a pretender from day one. He knew what Judas was going to eventually do, but that didn't mean that he didn't try to reach him. Let me say this before we go on today. Maybe you have a loved one that you know is a pretender. Can I tell you this? God's not given up on them. And neither should you. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might, here's a word, maybe circle this in your Bible, he might conveniently betray him. Now, I know we're dealing with Judas, and Judas is an unsaved man, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot in this passage of Scripture, there's a lot in the life of Judas that I see in my own life. And I'm not an unsaved man, I'm a believer, I'm saved. But I'm shocked at how often I put on the face of a pretender. People pretend all the time. The reason why I chose that for the screen is because I said this last week. If you looked at most people's pictures on Facebook and then they got kidnapped and then you use those pictures to try to find them, they could never identify them. Because so many people in their Facebook pictures, I know people that are my age and they take pictures and they look young. I don't know what app they're using, but it's awesome. But whenever I see them in person, I'm like, dude, really? You look nothing like that. So can I go ahead and tell you, no matter if you're old or ugly or fat or skinny or a wart on your nose or whatever, take a real picture of yourself and put it out there so that when people see you in public, they say, hey, I know that guy. Instead of, who are you? Here's your Facebook. It looks nothing like you. You know, while I was on my trip out west, I had started to become a social influencer myself. You're laughing back there, Josh Held. It's not that funny. I had a profile picture. How many of you saw the profile picture? Amen. I thought profile picture taken from the side, just like the day I was arrested. But we won't get into that. I don't understand why people like going to jail. It's not a fun place. They're not friendly people. Well, there are friendly people there, but we won't get into that either. Judas, can I tell you something? Our world today is sick of pretenders. Our world today is sick of people saying one thing and doing something else. And it's happened far too long in the church. Amen? Now, I'm not saying bring worldliness into the church. I'm saying let's lift holiness up in the life of the believers. But people need to hear sometimes, you know what? I struggle. The Christian ought not to be scared to death of temptation. What they ought to be scared to death of is falling into temptation. And there are people out there that need to know that you and I are real and that God has saved us from something incredible. And God is still doing a work in our life and He can do it in theirs too. Many people today are pushed away from Christianity because there are too many pretenders in it. Number one, last week, we dealt with Judas and his personality. We talked about where he was from, his name. His parents gave him a name that means Jehovah leads, or he whom Jehovah praises. You know what? His mom and dad had great hopes for him. Having Christian parents cannot guarantee the salvation of the soul. Did you change that, Amber, or did I? Sweet. One of the things we talked about last week was this. All of the other disciples were from Galilee, but Judas was from another area. All the others knew each other probably. They knew each other's families and all that. Judas came in as kind of an outsider. He may have used that as an excuse. But you know one of the things I see in the gospel? How many of you, before I told you that last week, never considered that in the life of Judas? How many? I've got to raise my hand because I never had considered that last week. I never considered the fact that he was from someplace else. You say, why didn't you? Because nowhere in the Gospels do you see the disciples or Jesus treating him any different because he was from someplace else. You say, preacher, what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to get at this. Each one of us are an outsider. But may we never feel like an outsider. Let me say that again. Each one of us are outsiders. But may we never feel like outsiders in this place. How about that? May we always feel like you're accepted in the beloved and you're accepted in my life too. I want you to be my friend. I want to be your friend. I want to see God do something in your life. You know why? Because He can. Because He's taken the most vilest sinner in this place and changed his life of who I am. And if He can change my life, He can change your life. And that ought to be every one of our attitudes in this. But I see that in the life of Judas, and it may have been that he decided that, you know what, I'm going to kind of use that as an excuse. Number two today, let's look at this, Judas and his privileges. Now, you're going to use your Bibles. Go with me to Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3. If you didn't get last week's notes or last week's outlines, just see me after service and I'll give it to you, or I'll email it all to you, and you can have all that. But let's go to, where did I tell you to go? Mark 3? Okay, all right, good. I was thinking Luke 3, but if you're there, you're in the wrong place. Mark 3, let's go to verse number 13. Verse number 13. Mark 3, verse number 13, a study in the life of Judas reveals that he enjoyed many of the same privileges of the Lord's genuine disciples. And we're going to see a few of them here. His privileges. Notice this about Judas. But keep this in mind. Judas died lost. I heard a preacher preach a sermon years ago, and he titled it this: The Man Who Kissed the Door to Heaven and Died and Went to Hell. That's Judas. He came so close, yet so far. As a pastor, as a preacher, one of my fears is this, that people that sit underneath my voice, that a person that sits under my voice will die and go to hell. One of my great fears is that's going to happen. May none of us pretend in this area of salvation. Judas was privileged. Verse number 13. And he goeth, talking about Jesus, goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto them. Notice, Judas was chosen by Jesus. He was chosen by him to fulfill a divine plan. And then notice this in verse number 14, and he ordained 12. The word ordained there carries with the idea of teaching and setting apart to teach others. He ordained 12. Judas was one of those that they should be with him. You circle that in your Bible there. They should be with him. That's God's desire for all of his followers, that we would be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed, or he nicknamed, Peter. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, in verse number 19, a verse given completely over to Judas, and Judas Iscariot, and it goes on. You see this throughout the Gospels. Every time it names Judas, it has this afterwards or before. And Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. So he's called. One of the great proofs that the Word of God is the Word of God are promises or prophecies that are given in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. Let me give you guys a couple verses in the Old Testament. I'm going to have you turn there. I should have put these up on the screen. It's my fault. I didn't do that. But I'll read them to you. But I want you to listen as I read them and tell me if you believe that these are references to Judas. Now listen to this. Psalm 41, verse number 9. This is written about 900 years before this prophecy or this happens, the betrayal of Judas. Listen to the words. It says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Psalm 41, verse number 9, is a prophecy concerning Judas's betrayal that was yet to happen. Hundreds of years later, John 13 says this, "I speak not of you all," Jesus is talking, "I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled." Listen to that. "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." And my friend, he was probably looking right at Judas. Judas was so successful in his pretending and his hypocrisy that whenever Jesus announces later on in Mark 14 that somebody's going to betray him, the disciples asked. Not one of them said, "We know it's Judas." You know what the disciples said? You ready? "Is it I?" Every one of them thought, "Oh my, I'm capable of that." They had no idea that Judas was lost. I wonder sometimes if Judas even knew for sure that he was lost. I wonder sometimes if Judas was so caught up in serving Jesus that he really never considered it. I don't know. I've talked to some people that I believe are lost, but they have no idea that they're lost. They refuse to believe it. Some of you that are sitting here, you were like that before you got saved. But then God convicted you and you thought, oh, I'm lost. I never realized it. Before I got saved, I never really thought that much about being lost. But then one day it changed. So, the Bible speaks about Judas before Judas was ever born. This begs the question, could Judas have been saved? Could Judas have been saved? Two or three of you got it right. Nod your head, yes. Could Judas have been saved even after he betrayed Jesus? Nod your head. Could Judas have been saved up to the point that he tied the rope around his neck? Amen. You know why? Because no one, while they're breathing, is beyond the grace of Almighty God. Amen. You say, why are you telling us that? Because you and I have got some friends and loved ones. Amen. That the world says they've gone too far. Had he turned to Christ by faith, he would have been saved. Boy, there would have probably been a shock among the disciples and all, but can I tell you who wouldn't have been shocked? Jesus. He had every opportunity. The parables of the unjust servant, the parable of the man without a wedding garment, the parable of the 10 virgins and the ones that ran out of oil, all of these were designed to speak to Judas and turn him from his evil plan. However, the Lord knew before he even chose him that he's going to betray him. He came to be chosen. He came to follow Christ. When Jesus called Judas, he willingly followed. But as you read about and you see the life of Judas, you realize that he wasn't following a Savior. He was following a revolutionary. He was following someone that he hoped was going to overturn the Roman oppression. There's so many things about Judas that are kind of shocking. In verse number 14, the Bible says he ordained the 12. The word there has the meaning of training, as I said before. He took those 12 men and he made them ready for the mission that they were going to go on. Can I tell you something? Judas was privileged. He was connected. I had you circle the little phrase. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. Like the other disciples, Judas was chosen to be with Jesus. Imagine that. Every day, Judas and the other disciples witnessed the character and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Every day. They heard his words. They saw his works. Every day there was display of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every miracle, every parable, every sermon, every single act of compassion was designed by Jesus to reveal his identity to men. 11 of them got the message. Judas never did. Jesus tried to touch the heart of Judas in many ways and on many occasions, but Judas hardened his heart. Some people have a hard time with the idea that Judas could live with Jesus for 3 years, for over 3 years, and still not believe him. We see the same thing happen. People sit in church for a lifetime under the Word of God, under the preaching of the gospel, under the prayers of God's people, under the clear evidence of a saving power in the life of those around him, yet still some of those people still die in their sins and go to hell. Can I tell you something? That's a real tragedy. With as much compassion as I can muster, let me say this. Don't let that happen to you. If you're sitting here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven when I die," I'm going to tell you something. You have a 100% chance of dying. There's no altering that. There must be a time in each and every person's life where they come face to face with the reality that they're unsaved, they're lost, they cannot save themselves. They must come to that place where they realize those sins, because of the fact that they're a sinner, it separated them from God. They cannot be good enough. They cannot do enough good works in order to be saved. They come to the place of utter and complete helplessness. And they turn to Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins and trusting Jesus and Jesus alone. If there's not a moment in your life today, if there's not a moment in your life today that matches up with that, you may not remember the day, but I promise you, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, you remember the event. If there's never been a day like that in your life, kindly, may I say this, you're just like Judas. Just like Judas. You say, "You mean I'm going to betray?" No, what I'm saying is you're going to die and go to hell just like Judas. And I beg you, don't let pride send you to hell. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. Let's get that right today. Don't go another day. Eternity's too long. You realize that Judas was commissioned just like the others. He was sent out to preach. He served alongside the rest. He preached with power. He worked miracles. You say, "How can he do that?" I don't know. But there was nothing in his life on the outside that indicated that he was unsaved. Nothing. But he knew it. Jesus sure knew it. He delivered demon-possessed people. He saw many people saved. Yet one day in the judgment day, hear the words of Jesus. Jesus is going to say to Judas. And my fear is he's going to say that to a lot of church members. "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.' And Jesus says, 'And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" Be sure you are not one of them. Judas had many privileges, but he had a problem. He had a problem. Go back with me to Mark 14. Mark 14, I'm just going to read a couple verses. I'm debating where to cut the message off today. I didn't start my timer this morning, Amber, so I don't know how long I've been preaching. Some of you are saying, "Too long already." Let me cover a couple points here. Mark 14, verse number 10 and 11 again, it says, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Judas had a problem. Here is one of his problems. He was confused. He was confused. Why would Judas want to betray Jesus? He saw the miracles. He saw his power over demons, over Satan and nature. My goodness, he was riding in the ship when Jesus calmed the seas. He stood there whenever Jesus said, Lazarus! He watched Lazarus walk out of the grave. He was confused. He'd heard the Old Testament prophecies. He watched as Jesus fulfilled those. But he was expecting Jesus to overthrow Rome, and when that didn't happen, when God didn't work the way that he thought he should, he became disillusioned. There's probably not a Christian in this room today that hasn't happened to you. You've struggled with it, but you're here today, so at least you've made a good step forward. But let me ask you, are you still pretending? Judas's other problem was this. He was covetousness. He was covetous. He loved money. They trusted him so much they let him be the treasurer. Apparently, John thought later on that he was a thief. In fact, John writes these words. He said, "Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." See, it says it again. After the lady had taken the perfume and spread it over Jesus, wasted it, he thought. We said, when we preached on that, about $35,000 worth of perfume. No gift is too great for God. Don't ever resist a generous impulse. Judas led the way, and he said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" And then John writes this about Judas. He said, "This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag." Later on, John realized, but not while he was beside him. His hypocrisy was complete, that even the other disciples were, be careful who you follow. Judas did not know, did not understand who Jesus was. You know what he was? A great pretender. And I guess we have to ask this question of ourselves. Am I a great pretender? Jesus placed so many roadblocks in the way. But Judas passed every one of them. Every one. If you, my friend, that are watching, if you die and go to hell, you'll have to step over the love, the compassion, and the very body of Jesus Christ to go there. Don't let whatever you're hiding behind take you to hell. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm saved." Awesome. Don't let whatever you're hiding behind keep you from serving God. from loving Him, from being in the right relationship with Him. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what has happened in my life." I do not. But I know the one that does. And you know what? He's not giving up on you. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Am I?